From Peoria Public Radio, this is Out and About. I'm Nathan Irwin.
And I'm Suzette Boulay with Arts Partners of Central Illinois. This week, we're talking with Egla Birmingham, a guest artist with Bradley University's Theater Department. She's directing their production of Clybourne Park, which continues through March 9th. Thanks for joining us, Egla.
Thanks for having me. Good to be here.
Now, I think a lot of people will be unfamiliar with this play, so we should probably set the stage by noting that this is a sequel to A Raisin in the Sun. It's set 50 years later and literally in the same house.
Actually, okay. It's almost overlaps in that Act 1 takes place in 1959. As you know, in Raisin in the Sun, there's a family that's moving into a house on Clybourne Street. This is the house. So in this production, Act 1 takes place with the family who's leaving the house for the black family to move in. Act 2, then, is 50 years later, the same house.
But because 50 years have passed, the issues around the neighborhood have changed dramatically. And I guess one of the overriding issues is gentrification of this neighborhood.
Right, and the changing that happened. A couple of things about this play, about Clybourne Park. It's different from other plays in that in other plays, you watch a story evolve, and then you get a conclusion. You know, therefore, this is what the theme is, etc. With plays like this one, or with this play particularly, it's like taking two living photographs, and you, the audience, have to decide, therefore, what? You know, and it makes you almost cover your eyes when you think, oh, my goodness, really? Is this where we really are? Therefore,
I was so surprised that there were two distinct responses to this play.
Right.
People said it's hilarious,
yes.
Heartbreaking,
yes.
A full meal for sure.
Yes.
Someone else says, I asked for a refund, boring and unimaginative.
Yeah.
How could they have that diverse
for
response?
For the same thing. Again, if you're expecting, the modern day story about, let's say, an African-American family or a white family, and they meet and this something happens, and at the end, this is the conclusion. This is not this play. This is not that. So, yes, you'll want your money back. However, if you could just hang in there and think about what the play does something even more drastic because it makes you decide. And it is hilarious. The amazing thing is you laugh and then you figure out, why am I laughing? Why did I just laugh at that? That's not pretty. There's some jokes that are told in the play, you know. The actor even said, you know, I'm having a hard time doing this line. I say, I know, dear, but that character doesn't have any trouble saying that. So you have to, you know. But yeah, because you laugh and then you think, that's not right. You know, I shouldn't be. But yeah, so it's both of those things.
No resolution. It comes down to us.
It really puts it back to us. It puts it back to us. And I think Bradley's doing this play because it's the anniversary of the start of the civil rights movement. And it's a good time, I think, thematically for us as a people to say, where are we? Where did this go? You know, can I fix any of this? And you can't expect somebody from the outside to fix it. The play says, it's us. Wasn't it? There was a cartoon many years ago who said, I met the enemy and the enemy is us.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure it's enemy, but the problem in this play is us still. You know, and it's different. It is different.
Now, I know that Bradley University draws a lot of students from the Chicago area, and the play is set in Chicago neighborhood.
Right.
So I'm just curious, as you've been working with the actors over the last several weeks, have you had any conversations with them where one of them said to you, you know, this is a story that could be unfolding in my hometown, right, in my neighborhood?
Well, I think they all knew, when we first started working, we talked with the design team about where this house might have existed. Mm-hmm. And instead of designing in a vacuum, they went to actual streets, you know, and say, these are what the houses would be like. And decided then, this could be the house on Clybourne Park. And so we designed a set with that in mind. And so the entire team had a sense of where this is. The attitudes, however, are not only Chicago. That's what's amazing. They all could relate to, at different times, there are characters who get on your nerves, you know. And people would say things like, oh, I know him. I know exactly who Lindsay is, you know. And so it's not always a city thing. Because, again, if it's a thing of the heart, a thing of the mind, it started in the city. But who lives in the city? The people who come from all over, you know, and so they bring the attitude with, you know.
Are there any particular scenes that touched your heart that you wanted to make sure the audience got?
Oh, my. Yeah, several. The end of Act One. In Act One, again, this is 1959, and the family is moving away to another neighborhood, and this is the white family's moving because an awful thing happened, and they just need to go away and start over. And the mother in the family, who's been the sort of, let's do this and let's get this packed, and, you know, and the husband talks about, well, when he gets to his new house, he'll only be 5 minutes from door to door. And she says, and what will I do in between? And it breaks my heart because, yes, there are lots. And his answer is, oh, you know, any number of things, projects, you know. And my heart breaks with her every night, even when she was just learning it. She had the sense of the emptiness that means, you know. And then the end of the play, when we do meet a character that we've never seen before, and it sort of puts the ribbon on it, and I go, yeah, I'm glad we've put him in here, you know. And so, yeah, there's some funny, oh my goodness, there's some that catch my attention, not because they break your heart, but because they're so interesting and funny, and you go, oh, dear, Carl, really? You have to say it like that? Yeah, but yeah.
Oh, Carl.
You can't hate him because you know how he got to be who he is.
It's like saying, oh, Newman.
Yeah. You know, stepped right in it. Yeah.
Now, as you say, half the play is set in 1959. The other act two, the other half is contemporary. So do you have two different casts of actors? Do you bring the same actors back in different roles?
Yes. These people have played each two roles because the characters in act one are totally different in act two. There are some things that link them, you know, some characteristics, but they are two distinctly different characters.
So with each actor, you're working with that student to develop
at least two characters.
We'll talk a little bit about that then.
The theater department at Bradley is relatively young. And so often you work with an actor and they understand taking on a role, but at the same time you take on a role and you have to fully develop that person. And you have 45 pages to get that done. And on page 46, you start with a new person, and that person cannot be cheated. It has to be as fully developed as the one in Act One. The blessing is that those actors have been amazing. You know, you tell an actor, dear, you are not 18, you know. You're running up that step like a girl. A woman who's 40-something doesn't do that. So we had to figure out now what makes a 40-year-old woman move differently. It's not always that she's big, but she's had years of walking up these steps. So what if you walked up the steps carrying weights? You feel different, you know. You've walked up these steps how many years? And so they've had to find ways to become this 40-some-year-old woman. Vocally, that auditorium is it's a challenge, let's say, at best, you know. And in the quiet, tender moments, yes, you need to be tender with your partner, but the lady who bought the ticket and lives and is seated back there still has to get it. So where do you make the sound? You know, how do you support that sound, even though you're being tender at this moment? You know, and they have risen to all the challenges. They're just amazing. They are really great. The lines are written, conversational. Bruce Norris doesn't leave you it's not an easy thing to memorize. It's like a mammoth does.
Okay.
You know, in that you start a conversation and mid-conversation, somebody else says something or you think of something else and you go off. And yet you have to, in my opinion, if you're directing a play by somebody, if that's what Bruce wrote, that's what you need to say, you know, in that order. So, yeah, and memorizing then becomes a challenge. And then just about when you're finished with all the fights and the arguments in Act One, comes Act Two. And the rhythms of that, the writing is different, but you still have to. So, yes, they've been marvelous. I can't stop saying good things about them.
Do you see a maturity in them as they learn the script?
I see. You know, when I figured it out, I listened to them talk about the play to someone who wasn't part of our process, you know, and This was, I think, a television interview, and I listened to the actors talking, and I kept thinking, wow, they really understand this from a whole lot of areas. There's a maturity of, well, I think there is a willingness, I think, to open their minds to. And so with that comes in an understanding and just a delight in the ideas of the play. And I think, I don't need to do this. They know what the play is about. That's exciting. As a director, you work towards getting rid of your job, you know, passing it on. This is theirs. This is theirs. And I feel good with that.
That's Egla Birmingham, the director of Bradley University Theater's production of Clyburn Park. Performances continue through next Sunday at the Hartman Center Theater. Thank you for being with us today.
Thank you for having me.
And Nathan, beginning tonight, the Illinois Central College Theater Program presents 6 performances of the musical Working over 2 weekends at ICC's Performing Arts Center. Based on Studs Terkel's best-selling book of interviews with American workers, the production is a fun, vibrant musical that fills audiences with hope and inspiration.
And Trinity Lutheran Church is presenting Concertos by Candlelight. It's part of their Trinity Concert Series. It features concertos for recorder, violin, and guitar performed by Lizette Kielsen, Marcia Henry Liebenau, and Jonathan Roth. Jonathan Roth will also be performing a guitar concerto that he's composed. That concert is tonight at 7 at Trinity Lutheran Church.
Out and About is a production of Peoria Public Radio and Arts Partners of Central Illinois. Each week, we connect you to the arts community by talking with local arts leaders and performers.
Our producer is Stephanie Sobey. If you'd like to learn more about Peoria Public Radio, visit us on the web at peoriapublicradio.org. I'm Nathan Irwin, and this is Out and About.